We would love to have now the perspective on your side of how connectivism has made an impact in the way that people learn and that people behave after they learn in a connectivist way. So that's like the whole idea of this interview.
Okay.
So I don't know if you just want to speak up about that.
Yeah, no problem. I think the big thing that connectivism brought to the picture was the idea that learning isn't simply about acquiring knowledge, and it isn't even simply about having or creating ideas or models or whatever in the mind, that learning is based on and supported by contextual factors, such as the connections that we have with other people, such as the relations we draw between entities and events, and internally, the connections that happen in our own mind. From my perspective, I see connectivism as also helping people understand that learning isn't something that is text-based and logic-based and language-based, that learning is something that encompasses all of the senses. Some would say that learning is something that is not just known but embodied, but learning is a process of growth and development rather than acquisition and creation. So I think those are the main things that I would say on that right now.
So a person who has, for example, taken a whole program, let's say a high school program, with this connectivist view, who has seen his teacher not as a superior person, but as somebody in a network of knowledge, and who has shared and authored information he has collected and conclusions he has reached, how is he different for the workforce than a person who has gone to a traditional non-connectivist program?
Well, this is a person who can keep learning, right? This is a person who knows how to use the resources around him to connect with and acquire points of view, perspectives, information, resources, and the rest. This is a person who's learned, who has, you know, I don't want to say acquired, but is capable of using, advanced skills that allow him to interact with the environment and learn directly from it. Importantly, it means that this person doesn't depend on someone to organize and present content to them in order to meet the demands of new environments. If somebody throws new software at them, they don't need to take a training course. They can figure out how to learn it on their own. If they're put into a new position, they don't need to go through a two-week initiation program. They can figure out how to do the job while on the job by asking the right people and finding the right sources. So it's a person who ultimately, in my mind, is more empowered, more capable, and probably as a result, more confident and more assertive and more able to express himself clearly and convincingly.
Okay, I agree totally, and it has been such an asset to education, no, in all levels of formation. I would also like to ask you, in terms of values, how is a connectivist person different than a non-connectivist one?
Well, I mean, there are many ways to talk about values, right? So I want to be a little bit careful here. But I've identified four major values that inform the creation and support of networks. That doesn't mean that people who are not connectivists might not share these values, but it does mean that these values are things that distinguish connectivists. And they are, and people have heard them before, autonomy, diversity, openness, and interactivity. Autonomy is the idea that people make their own decisions in their own life. They set their own goals. They choose their own tools. They decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong, and make their way through society in that way. That doesn't mean that anything goes, but it does mean that if a person makes a decision, it was the person themselves that made the decision, that they're not just simply doing as they're told. Expressed religiously, you could say it's like you pray because you believe, not because your parents told you to pray, right? Diversity is the idea that people are different. They come from different places. They have different beliefs, different origins, different perspectives, different points of view. And that not only is this a good thing, it's a necessary thing. Because no single perspective, no single point of view is sufficient to encompass a complex fact or a complex state of affairs, such as the world. So we need these other perspectives and points of view, and we need to connect with them in order to be able to grasp the nature of our world, the nature of reality. Openness is... It's a practical consideration. You might not call it a moral value, but people, there are a lot of people who live their lives closed, there's a certain point you have to say, well, there is an element of it being a value. Openness is the idea of being able to hear and perceive the world around them. They listen to other people, they take in the environment, they're receptive, and they're deliberately so. Like one of the things I do is I take photographs, and I take photographs not because I want pretty pictures, although I get pretty pictures, but because it makes me more aware of the environment that I'm in and makes me seek out and actually look at the environment deliberately, and that's part of being open. Openness also involves sharing. It also involves being willing to make mistakes in public, being willing to express oneself as a person in public, being willing, especially from the point of view of learning and education, to share thought processes, the way we go about solving a problem, the way we go about building a piece of software or a house or whatever. So openness is an essential structural mechanism for connectivism to work, for that matter, for knowledge and communication to work. And so people who are connectivists tend to value openness. And finally, interactivity. That's not simply the process of having conversations and being part of a community, although it includes all of that. But it's also the idea that what is known by a network is something over and above what is known by any individual in the network. You know, people talk about passing ideas and passing content on from one person to the next to the next. But that's just signals, right? You might send a message from me to you to the next person, but the knowledge that a community has is not contained in any individual networks. It's something that, as they say, emerges from that network as a whole. And understanding that is really important, because understanding that changes how you think about presenting and promoting your own point of view. If you're just trying to get everybody else to think the same thing that you do, to believe the same thing that you do, to know the same things that you know, then you're doing it wrong. Because it means that the network as a whole could never be more than the things that you think, that you say, and that you believe, right? But human capacity is very limited. And so the network would be very limited. We want the totality of our community to be able to do more than what just one single person can do. And this is not simply the building of artifacts and cultures and infrastructure, but also the creation of language, of ideas, of beliefs, and so on. So that's a value as well, the value of understanding that what we create together isn't just a reflection of what one of us creates individually. It's a hard thing for some people, but you know, I think that people who have invested in community and have experienced community, they understand that.
Thank you so very much for this interview. It took a little bit more than the 5 minutes I promised. But
I knew it would.
I'm sure you knew. Thank you so very much. It is so important for us in Mexico to have your presence in our journal. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.